Pastor Ray Bentley says he believes God's last days plan is moving ahead soon, and we need to be ready.
I believe that we're living in the days where the beginning of the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit is happening right now. God is on the move. This is an hour of purification, sanctification, and repentance. Get ready. A tidal wave of the glory of God is headed our way directly from heaven above. Are you ready?
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. As we've all seen in the movies, when a train is about to leave the station, the conductor shouts, "All aboard!" It's a question, really. Is everyone on board? Today, Pastor Ray points out God's Last Days Express is about to leave the station, and our text today shouts, "All aboard!" Let's listen and make sure we're on the train.
Okay, let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. Jesus says, "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven." These are signs. Jesus has been talking about signs that point to the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you tonight that there are many signs that the Bible talked about that are signs that Jesus is coming soon. Does that encourage anybody out there? It sure does me. And I'll tell you, when I got saved at 11 years old, and, you know, through a Billy Graham film, and thank God, I just have to say thank God for Billy Graham. What a gift to the body of Christ. He has personally told more human beings this message, God loves you, than anybody who has ever lived. And I'm thankful for him because that's how I got saved. I heard the message of God's love through Billy Graham, you know, and I will never forget it. And I just thank God for him. And I thank God that he is here. Well, when I got saved, then, okay, now I'm going to heaven. Then I started hearing messages about the coming again of the Lord and prophecy being fulfilled. And I was like, are you kidding? I could be living in the generation that would, you know, for 2,000 years, Jesus hasn't come back. How did I get privileged to live in such a time as this? Because of the message that Christ could return in my lifetime, I started when I was 14 years old in my high school out in East County at Elkhorn Valley High School. I started sharing the gospel. How many of you remember the four spiritual laws? You remember the four spiritual laws? Law one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Law two, you're a sinner and we're separated from God. And then, but God has made a provision, and then, you know, you can accept Christ. And then they have these two little pictures. And one was kind of order, and the other one was kind of chaotic. And I remember that at that point then, you know, you're reading through this little pamphlet. I'm in high school, and I'm sharing with my friend who's got his Letterman's football jacket on, and I haven't looked up. I was so scared. I just said, Lord, help me. And I didn't even look up. I just read, Law 1, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for God. Boom, Law 2, you know, we're sinful and separated from God. Law 3, Jesus came. And finally, I got to the place where it said, here's one picture of order and peace and happiness, and here's a picture of chaos. Which one represents your life? And then I was caught. Now I had to look up. My fear was, honestly, that when I looked up, you know how you have little scenes that go on in your mind? In my mind, as I'm getting to that last page where I'm trapped and I have to ask a question and look up, I saw him getting up and walking away with all my other football buddies looking at me and getting ready to laugh when I finally looked up. Well, that's what I thought would happen, but when I actually looked up, To my great surprise, he was still sitting there. Not only was he still sitting there, tears were streaming down his cheeks. You know, at lunch with his football jacket on, Letterman jacket on, I was like, well, this really works, you know? And he just said, my whole family, man, we're so messed up. I had no clue that, and he had no clue, because I just asked, hey, you ever heard of the four spiritual laws? No. Could I share it with you? Okay. So, boom, we go through it. And then he prayed with me. I said, well, here's a prayer that could help bring peace and forgiveness. Would you be willing to say the prayer? He goes, yeah. I mean, it was powerful. It wasn't me. I was reading as fast as I could with no emotion, just, you know, and got to the end. And the reason I share that with you is, A, the hope of the coming of Christ put a fire in me. And it gave me a boldness, now, not courage, I was a little scaredy cat when I was 14, but it gave me a boldness to go beyond my fears and share the gospel, and I will never forget that day. I saw the power of the gospel and of the good news of Jesus Christ, that it can reach into a person's heart at a time when outwardly you think, oh, they don't care, they're just laughing, they'll mock me. What? You don't know what a person is thinking. It's never wrong to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so here, there are signs such as increased wars, rumors of wars, natural disasters and calamities. These things, Jesus said, would be like birth pangs. I think we're all seeing and feeling the world going through many birth pangs. But when Jesus talks here, he says, look at again in verse 24, in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars of the heaven will fall, the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. In other words, Jesus, he said, here's the sign when I come back. A, it won't be in secret. He said, don't think that, you know, oh, he's coming somewhere out in a disclosed location or go out into the desert. No. He said, when I come back, it's going to light up the sky. But I also want you to note this. He says, the sun, it will be darkened, the moon will be darkened. And in other words, at the end of the world, it gets pitch black with darkness. At the end of the tribulation, at the end of the battle of Armageddon, the world devolves into complete darkness. But that darkness, when the world turns totally dark and it seems like the whole universe is collapsing in on us, this will be followed by the sudden, glorious, powerful, tremendous light, the Hebrew word, which is Shekinah, the Shekinah light. Jesus said, that is the sign of the second coming and of my return of the Messiah. And then following that light, comes out of the light, Jesus Christ himself. Okay, look with me in verses 28 through 31. Jesus now tells a parable of the fig tree. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Jesus is talking about the generation that sees all of these things coming together. And so now, Israel, us, and our date with destiny. There's a few things that I want to share with you from my heart. Put this in your notes, numbers 1, 2, and 3. Number one, this is the hour for Israel. I'd like for you to turn with me to Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 62. I'm going to just read these 7 verses. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. Isaiah 62, verse 1, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate. But you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. In other words, he's excited about you, Jerusalem, as a bridegroom over his beautiful bride. And then look at verse 6. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace, day or night. You, he's talking about the watchmen, who make mention of the Lord and do not keep silent, and give him, the Lord, no rest until he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. You know what that's saying? Who are the watchmen? I believe that the watchmen are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he is saying is, how many of you would love to see peace all over the earth? What are we waiting for? The Lord says, I have watchmen on your walls who will pray to me and say, Lord, you promised you would make Jerusalem a praise in all the earth. Now that you promised it, we want to hold you to your word. You said you promised. Now we're asking that you fulfill your own promise before our very eyes. Does that make sense? To pray for it and to intercede for it.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment.
We love hearing when Maranatha Radio and Pastor Ray's teachings are impacting lives.
Pastor Ray, I love your daily devotionals, especially your devotion on sharing our faith with others. I've been wanting to witness more about Jesus to my neighbors and friends, but I always get a little pushy. But your message was all about compassion, love, and gentleness. Thanks for a good lesson on how to reach others for Christ without driving them away. God bless you.
And we're so glad that Pastor Ray's teachings are helping. Would you take just 60 seconds and write Pastor Ray an email and let him know how these studies in God's Word have encouraged you? You can send that email to ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com.
And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
And then in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 3, I put this in your notes. Here's an interesting scripture. Let's read this out loud. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So here is Isaiah. He's prophesying, and he says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Question, who is Isaiah talking to? Okay, let's begin with this. Who are Isaiah's people? And I'll give you a clue. Isaiah is Jewish. So who would Isaiah's people be? The Jews. So now, when he says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God, who is he talking to? Who is Isaiah talking to and who is he talking about? Here's what I believe. This is what the Lord has put on my heart. You pray and see if this is what the Lord has put on your heart. I believe he's talking to the church. Comfort ye, my people. I think this is the words of the heart of our Father to the church, and especially for such a time as this. The Jewish people have been rejected, they've been hated, they have been condemned, they have been ridiculed, they've been holocausted. And I believe that that God's word to believers is, I want you to show my people grace. Grace upon grace. This is the hour to show the Jewish people grace and to show them mercy, not to judge them or condemn them, as history has done over and over, but by showing and demonstrating genuine love and grace. I believe the church has a very important role to play in these times. In this decade, this is what the Lord is putting on my heart, that the destiny for Israel, the destiny for the church is unfolding right before our very eyes. This is an awesome and incredible time to be alive. It's a great time to be alive. Amen? And Israel is the defining issue for the church of the last days. Therefore, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And also, you know, we're involved very much with our Nehemiah project. I won't go into the details of that, but we're practically trying to help prepare the way. Because here's what I see real quick as time moves forward. Israel's going to get more and more alone and more isolated and more attacked. And they're going to need those who love them and will reach out to them and help them. So we are called to bless the Jewish people and their neighbors. We can't stop with them. We have to bless their neighbors, the sons and daughters of Ishmael. Why? Because God loves them. God gave a promise and a blessing to Ishmael also. He gave him 12 princes. He gave him 12 tribes. He gave him all kinds of blessings because he loves them. So we must love the Palestinians, their neighbors as well. And then we can't even stop there. Then we have to love their enemies. Jesus said, if you only love your own, you're no different or better than anybody else. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. So we have a job so big, only the agape love of God can accomplish it. Amen? Okay, so number one, it is the hour for Israel. Number two, these are the days of visitation. Turn with me to Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants, and listen, and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. I believe that we're living in the days where the beginning of the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit is happening right now. There's a mighty, powerful move of God in South America. Some of the largest churches on the planet are in Latin America. There's a tremendous movement in Africa. There was a man there whose mission is to bring Bibles to new believers. He told me something staggering. He said there are 400 million believers in Africa that do not have a Bible. Can you imagine? How do you grow as a believer if you don't have a Bible? So we have millions of believers and brothers and sisters in Africa. There's a great wave that God has been doing for a long time in East Asia, China. In fact, there are Chinese believers. This is what they're saying. They said the gospel started in Jerusalem. It started going west and went through Europe and then the Americas and now sweeping around Latin America and up through Africa and now back up through Asia. And it's coming back. And they said, we are the last leg. We are to go from China back to Jerusalem and bring the gospel to all those countries between. And they said, we believe we will accomplish it in this generation. And right now, there are untold numbers of Muslims, and let alone Buddhists and others who are having dreams and visions. There are more Muslims have come to faith in Jesus in the last 20 years than maybe the last 500, 600 years. Isn't that awesome? God is on the move. This is an hour of purification, sanctification, and repentance. Okay, get ready. A tidal wave of the glory of God is headed our way directly from heaven above. Are you ready? We are preparing to reign with Christ. So we need to watch and we need to wake up. And so this is truly the moment of our sonship. Okay, go back with me to Mark chapter 13 and we'll close it up. Verse 32, he says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, that means to be awake, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, Jesus said. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest, coming suddenly, he finds you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Be alert. Wake up. I believe that the handwriting is on the wall, just as it was in the days of Daniel. Remember, there was Belshazzar, this Babylonian king. He's laughing, mocking God, drinking from the golden goblets from the temple. Ah, ha, ha, ha. We destroyed the Jews and their God, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, there's a hand writing on the wall. And he didn't know what it meant. It said, meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin. Which I've interpreted, meeny, meeny, don't tickle the parson. Yeah, it would be the P. But so this hand writing on the wall, and the king, who was drunk, it says he got sober instantly. Have you ever been so scared that all of a sudden now, no matter what is you've been under the influence of, you're like, whoa. And then it says his knees began to smote one against the other. Have you ever been so scared that your knees were smoting one against the other? And then it says his loins loosed. King James, I'll leave it at that. But I think you get the picture. And he said, what does this mean? He brought out all the sorcerers and diviners and his little occult college, and they said, oh, we don't know. Somebody came out and said, there's a young Jew who your grandfather, this guy knows God. If you want to know what that means, you better call him. His name is Daniel. My God is judge. Daniel comes out, he looks, and the Spirit of God speaks to him. And he speaks to the king, and he says, what that message says is that tonight, while you are mocking God, you have been weighed in the balances, and you have been found wanting, meaning you came up lightweight. You didn't measure up. And this very night, your kingdom is going to be taken away from you. Know this, men are not in charge of this earth or of this world. The heart of the king is in the hands of God. He turns it like a river whithersoever he will. God is ruling, God is reigning, God is on the throne, God is in charge. And trust me, not only you here tonight, but many of your friends and many of those who they're not walking with God. They don't go to church, they don't read the Bible. And they're living their worldly lives, but they're shaken, just like Belshazzar was. And they see the handwriting on the wall. It's being written on the wall of Wall Street. They see the handwriting on the wall. It's being written on Main Street. They see the handwriting on the wall, but they don't know what it means. Here's what it means. For us, this is not the day for us to puff our chest and point our finger and become Old Testament prophets and judge the world. That is not the message. The message is this: God loves you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that everyone, including me, you know, I'm lost, I was a wretch, I was blind, but now I see. He loves you, he wants to forgive you, and all he's asking is that you would trust him. He'll do everything for you that you can't do for yourself. Amen? Amen. And may many come into the kingdom, and may the believers let go of criticizing one another and judging one another, and we're bickering and we're fighting and we're arguing and we're trying to push and have our way, and we feel like, oh, we have no power and the world is just going lost. And the Lord is saying, look, I told you, it's gonna get dark and it'll be followed by even more darkness. But the darkness is followed by a great light. It's time for the church to look to the real center of power. And the center of power is the throne of God. And when you get your eyes on the throne of God, the presence of God begins to be seen and felt. And then what we want to talk about is Jesus and not anything else. Amen?
Pastor Ray Bentley, with great insight on keeping our focus where it needs to be. Glad you're along for our studies in the Gospel of Mark today, here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled Signs of the Second Coming. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, by clicking Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can arrange to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions each day automatically at no charge. And also, you can link to his YouTube and Facebook pages. So why not bookmark it, raybentley.com. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books, On the Mountain of the Lord, and his latest, The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.